Hello, my name is Lisa Rosales-Mora, coming to you from the Talking Information Center. And this morning I'm going to be reading from the Duxbury Clipper, the latest edition, which is Wednesday, December 17th, 2025. And we begin with, it's a balanced budget. Fiscal year 2027 adds new jobs, restores some cuts. On Monday, town manager Renee Reed presented the select board with next year's balanced operating budget, which uses revenues the town has available to restore some job cuts this year, adds a few new positions, and provides extra money for important services like cybersecurity and public safety officers at town celebrations. The fiscal year 2027 balanced operating budget equals $98.33 million, an increase of more than $5.35 million from fiscal year 26. Reed was able to increase this budget by over $500,000 from the budget he presented in October, because on Monday, the select board approved fee increases, and they also discussed these increases to a variety of town services such as beach and transfer station stickers and mooring permits. The fiscal year 27 balanced operating budget is called the 5A budget for Article 5 that deals with the budget at town meeting. Reed said it reflects priorities of the select board. I'm pleased to report that the 5A budget as presented is balanced without any reductions in force to achieve that, he said. Reed also unveiled an override budget which adds over $1.8 million to the proposed fiscal year 27 budget. The 5B budget restores four more of the positions that were eliminated this year while adding six new full-time employees and expanding the town's entire budget to over $100 million. It also adds $2.1 million to the school budget. This additional money would come from a Prop 2.5 override, which voters must approve. This past March, a Prop 2.5 override passed a town meeting, but failed at the town election. This led to layoffs of town employees, also known as reductions in force. Reed said FY27 5A operating budget restores some, but not all, critical positions lost this year. These include the assistant town accountant, Department of Public Works, and highway worker. There is also enough money to add a new full-time DPW engineer and a new full-time facilities department administrative assistant. The FY27 budget also includes funding for cybersecurity projects, facilities department property, repairs and maintenance, overtime for police, and fire for the July 4th and Labor Day town celebrations, and money for crematory retort expenses and additional health insurance expenses. The 5A budget also includes the following: the two police officer and two additional firefighter paramedic positions that were cut last year, then added back after being funded at a special town meeting. Two eliminated highway department staff positions, $28,000 for a part-time director at the aqueducts swim program at the town pool, more money for increased electricity and natural gas costs at town buildings, additional funding for police body cameras and taser lasers, extra funds for higher vendor costs and for higher debt service, which will increase over 26% next year. It also includes extra money for health insurance costs, which are expected to rise by 10%, or an additional $871,000. The town's total health insurance budget is almost $9.6 million. Since not all positions cut this year will be restored next year, there will still be a strain on staff, Reed said. All of our departments are working harder than ever to provide the high-quality service our residents have come to expect, he said. The manner in which those services are being delivered is reaching critical mass. We continue to carefully manage our expenses and meet our fiduciary expectations, but the human toll does come with a price. Restoring lost positions and carefully expanding the town government to include new jobs and money for services that will help the town and its citizens is the goal of the 5B override. In March, the override ballot question sought an additional $5.8 million for the operating budget. This money would have paid for all the town and school services and jobs that got axed as a result of expanded the budget to include 11 new positions to meet the town's needs for the next 5 years. While residents rejected that plan, town officials hope that asking for an override of an additional $1.89 million will sit better with voters. In the 5B override budget, a lot of this extra cash, $813,000, will go to the school department to fund a 4.83% budget increase of $2.14 million. With this increase, the FY27 education budget will total $46.47 million. Without the money from the override, the school department's FY27 budget shows a 3% increase, or an additional $1.32 million, for a total of $45.66 million. The Finance Committee has not yet voted on the education budget. If the override passes, the additional money will fund full-day kindergarten for $450,000, pay for higher bus costs due to a new contract, and restore positions lost to budget cuts such as technology director, curriculum supervisors, and administrators. It would also help keep class sizes down at both elementary schools and allow the schools to offer entry-level foreign language in the high school, which it does not do currently. The 5B budget also has funding for two police officers, two new firefighters, a new part-time DPW custodian, and another highway department employee. It restores a full-time assistant in the town manager's office and a part-time healthcare benefits specialist in the human resources department. It also adds money to the Council of Aging budget to expand the hours of the home-delivered meals from 19 to 32 hours a week, which makes that job eligible for benefits. The budget also includes funding for a new year-round beach operations position and money to reopen the library on Sundays, a victim of budget cuts this year. Select board members asked questions about a variety of new or expanded areas of the budget. Board member Michael McGee asked school superintendent Danielle Klingemann if the department had looked into raising the price it charged parents for bus transportation. She said that was not something that would happen for this budget. Select Board Vice Chairwoman Amy McNabb said she was not in favor of asking for some expanded services in the override budget. She singled out the new Care Solace mental health program for $10,000 offered by the Senior Center and the full-time new beach operations job, which could help with the nascent beach escorting program during the endangered bird season at the beach. I am not comfortable going to the town and asking for additional money for services in an override budget to cover these costs, she said. I understand it is something we would love to do, but really have a lot of concern asking taxpayers to pay for these services. I wish we could find a way to pay for them ourselves. There will be a public meeting on the FY27 budget once it is finalized in the Finance Committee in the new year. And in other news, the Planning Board wants to regulate battery storage facilities. Planning Board members considered how to find a way to regulate battery energy storage facilities during their meeting last Monday. The issue came to the forefront recently when a commercial battery energy storage system was proposed near homes on West Street. The plan was fiercely opposed by neighbors and was withdrawn by the developer in October. According to Brandon Smith, a civil engineering manager with New Leaf, the company was withdrawing the application until such time as the legal proceedings against it were resolved. New Leaf Energy applied for a building permit to install the facility in the fall of 2023. Building Commissioner Jim Wasilewski denied the permit, a decision that was upheld by the Zoning Board of Appeals. In June, Land Court Judge Lauren Resnick overturned the ZBA's decision. The town has appealed Resnick's ruling. Planning Director Matthew Hines said Town Council Amy Quezel provided him with a zoning bylaw that was passed in West Newbury earlier this year. It was approved by the Attorney General, Hines said. He said that was a model for how Duxbury could address the issue. He didn't think it would be acceptable to the Attorney General if a bylaw banned the facilities in 95% of the town. He thought they could limit where the battery farms were located to about 30% of Duxbury. Hines proposed allowing them in business districts and planned development districts. A planned development districts allow for denser housing than is typically allowed in Duxbury, he said. No one has proposed building under those rules for more than 10 years. He also recommended banning them from the Aquifer Protection Overlay District. He noted the business districts are small, so the chance a battery storage facility would be placed in one of them was small. It seems like there's just a few places in town where this would be appropriate, Planning Board Chair Kristen Roppe said. It's important to keep the battery facilities away from certain areas due to noise and safety concerns. Planning Board member Stephen Gant suggested using overlay districts to designate where the facilities would be allowed. Overlay districts create a second zoning option in the places they're located. Overlay districts would put a bullseye on those areas, Rappi said. One person in the audience said battery storage facilities are typically located along power lines so they can be tied into the power lines more efficiently. I don't remember anybody ever saying anything about how you have to think about where the power lines are, Hines said. I'm not sure if it's something we have to worry about. Battery storage facilities are one of the ways the Commonwealth is trying to promote clean energy, Rappi noted. Stuart McEntee of Rosewood Court said that there needed to be a buffer of up to 600 feet to protect against accidents and noise. His wife, Kim McEntee, said that when she spoke with the state police that a battery facility was proposed for a location near Route 3, they went wild and asked why they hadn't been contacted about it. The technology kind of gets better and better. I think this is an issue that we're going to probably keep seeing in the years to come, Hines said. The facilities do allow utilities to manage their power needs using solar power, he added. The batteries have a 10-year lifespan. Planning Board member Tad Carpenter said, there's going to be traffic into the battery facility's location so they can be serviced, he said. We want to see a margin of safety to residential properties. We could at least identify what our parameters are and then say, okay, given these parameters, here's what you get. Carver has five of these facilities which are located in Cranberry Bogs, Kim McEntee said. While they're far from private homes, their cooling fans can still be heard. Duxbury, several people noted, doesn't have a noise bylaw. There isn't much time to get a bylaw written that could be presented to the select board soon, Hines said. The warrant for the annual town meeting closes on January 26th. Using the West Newbury bylaw would save time. It wouldn't require the creation of any new maps. Getting something passed soon could provide some protection for the town, Gant said. Rappi asked if there was a need to write a bylaw now. Can we wait and spend more time putting more thought into it? She asked. And she also said installing a battery storage facility would be possible, or could they write a bylaw that would set requirements that would make installing one unlikely? We would love it if it somehow makes it less profitable for them so they don't come to Duxbury, McEntee said. And in other news, a teen was hospitalized after fight. A 19-year-old Pembroke man was transported by helicopter early Thursday morning to a Boston trauma center following an apparent altercation with another man. According to Duxbury Police, first responders were called to Chandler Street after getting a report of a man being hit by a car on Chandler Street. First responders found him lying in the road with serious injuries. Witnesses told police that the injured man had gone to his ex-girlfriend's home to confront her current boyfriend. The two fought, and according to police, the victim apparently jumped on the hood of a moving vehicle and was thrown to the pavement. This incident remains under investigation. Detectives are continuing to interview witnesses. And the Duxbury Democratic Town Committee is organizing a coat drive to support veterans and their families. Donations of new and gently used winter coats for children, women and men in all sizes are welcome, as are hats, gloves, scarves, new underwear and socks. Bring your donations to the Rock, Paper, Scissors Toy Store, 62 Depot Street. Items will be collected through December 19th. Christmas comes calling at the King Caesar. It was holidays at the King Caesar House this weekend, and Duxbury Rural and Historical Society members got the first peek at the decorations. The theme this year was Women at Sea. Carolers were singing Christmas carols for all to enjoy. The Duxbury Education Fund's Polar Plunge will take place January 1, 2026 at 11 a.m. on Duxbury Beach. The DEF Polar Plunge is an energizing way to kick off the new year while supporting innovative educational programs in Duxbury Public Schools. It's a quick, exhilarating dip in the Atlantic that brings people together to support Duxbury schools. On New Year's Day, to sign up, support, and get more information, visit DuxburyEducationalFoundation.org. And in weather reflections, as I compose this missive on Sunday evening, Duxbury is seeing its first measurable snowfall with over 2 inches accumulated thus far. It appears that the low pressure system responsible for the snow has stalled several hundred miles to our east and is giving us ocean effect snowfall with its counterclockwise wind, giving us cold air blowing from the northeast and north over the warmer ocean water. Meanwhile, the National Weather Service has changed its 6 to 10 day forecast to close to normal temps, and its 8 to 14 day outlook is leaning toward below normal once again. Enjoy, by Wayne Heward. How the holiday lights came to Hall's Corner. Editor's note: Joan Sullivan shared with the Clipper the story behind the Christmas lights at Hall's Corner. Many people ask how I started putting lights on Hall's Corner flagpole at Christmas time. In 2020, my house was decorated for Christmas with lots of lights on the wisteria arbors. Early one morning, I opened the door and there was an envelope covered in snow. Inside the envelope was a card that read, "Thank you for spreading Christmas joy. We love your lights." It was not signed. When I returned home, I called the neighbors and children and asked if it was their child, but no one knew who it was. Then I remembered it was left at the door with the Ring doorbell. Playing back the video, I could see who left the card. It was a tiny child dressed in an elf outfit. As he walked away, he yelled, "Merry Christmas," and another child's voice yelled, "Happy New Year." It was so sweet. I sent the video to WCVB-TV. Within hours, I was contacted by the newsroom. The story aired for several nights and was seen in India, Scotland, and across the U.S. A friend called and said her aunt saw it in New York City, and my stepdaughter saw it in Arizona. If you Google Duxbury Christmas Elf, you will find the story. I thought about how the lights impacted so many people with the elf story. I researched how to light up a flagpole and found a company in Georgia that specialized in flagpole lights. I asked Jim Savonin of the Duxbury Public Works Department if the DPW bucket truck could help to put up the lights. The select board approved my request. I had started decobaging oyster shells, and a couple of gift shops were carrying them. With the money I was earning, I bought the lights, the extension cords, and the stakes. The first year, the lights went to the top of the 63-foot-high flagpole. It was difficult putting them up, as there was only Jim and I, and the lights became tangled. We couldn't push the stakes holding the lights down into the frozen ground. Finally, we were able to anchor the lights using dock line, carabiners, and zip ties. The next year, we lowered the height to the yardarm, but halfway through the season, many of the strings weren't lit. The Georgia company said they were not repairable as the fusers had corroded from the salt air. I researched LED lights and found a company in New York using the old harness. I was able to use duct tape and zip ties, and we put the new lights up and plugged them all together at the top and ran an extension cord down the pole. I also lit the bushes on the ground and the incandescent lights, but those didn't last long. I ordered more, and there are now 50 strings of LED lights on the flagpole. 2 years ago, a hurricane hit the week before Christmas, and only 4 strings were lit. Duxbury Public Works was dealing with trees down all over town. I pulled up to a Verizon truck and asked for help. They said they couldn't. I called Eversource and asked if one of their bucket trucks could help. She said they couldn't, but suggested I ask the fire department. They explained that using the ladder mean closing down Hall's Corner, which wasn't an option. As I headed home, Jim Savonin called and said the bucket truck was on the way and to meet them at the flagpole. The DPW employee in the bucket at the top of the flagpole yelled, "Do you have any duct tape?" I had a roll in my pocket. The lights got fixed. Last year, since Duxbury's new bucket truck was out for repairs, Pembroke DPW sent their truck and their crews to help. After the first year, friends and neighbors have helped put them up. Every year, the little elf has returned with his older brother just before Christmas and rings my doorbell. Such a nice, warm story. It's concert season in Duxbury, and the 7th and 8th grade bands got their turn last Tuesday. What a beautiful show that was. And the Duxbury Student Union welcomed a standing-room-only crowd December 12th for its annual Coffee House, a celebration of student musicianship that featured more than 24 high school performers and spanned centuries in musical genres. This year marked the first DSU People's Choice Award funded through the generosity of a community donor. First prize went to Thomas Nelson for original work and interpretations of Frank Sinatra, The Grateful Dead, and John Mayer. Second prize went to Charlie Seiler for a standout piano solo with a spontaneous duet. And third prize went to Molly Mead for a soulful Amy Winehouse performance. Anyone interested in helping to fund future student-led arts experiences can go to DuxburyStudentUnion.org/give. How lovely. And the Holy Family Duxbury will be having a Christmas Eve service with Mass at 4. It's also live streamed on their website at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. On Christmas Day, there will be Mass at 11. All are welcome. It's located at 601 Tremont Street in Duxbury. And happy holidays from the staff at Sun Tavern. You can get gift cards for every $100 you purchase. Receive a $25 bonus gift card as our gift to you. In honor of Veterans Day and as part of their November theme of giving back, Alden third graders wrote to Duxbury's Connor Perenick, who was serving in the U.S. Army and stationed in Hawaii. The students mailed letters to Special Perenick to thank him for his service and to share a little love from home while he is away. Perenick showed here with battalion mascot Kolchak continues a family legacy of military service that dates back 150 years. Duxbury figure skater Will Annis will perform at a send-off showcase December 18th before heading to the 2026 U.S. Figure Skating Championships in January. The showcase hosted by the Skating Club of Boston is free and open to the public and includes performances by national and international athletes. The January Championship is a final qualifier for making the U.S. Figure Skating Olympic team. Annis, who is 20, will compete in the senior men's division. He battled injuries the last couple seasons and came back to compete for the 25-26 season. The showcase begins at 6:30 at the Tenley E. Albright Performance Center, 750 University Ave, Norwood. Go to scboston.org for ticket info. And there will be Deck Your Hall Safely. As the holidays get underway, the Duxbury Fire Department has a handful of tips to ensure your holidays are merry and bright. Choose a tree with fresh green needles that don't fall off when touched. Cut approximately 2 inches from the bottom of the trunk before you put your tree up. Place your tree in a sturdy stand away from doors and windows. Water the tree daily and keep it away from heat sources, such as fireplaces, radiators, heat vents, candles, or lights. Choose decorations that are flame-resistant or flame-retardant. Never use lit candles to decorate the tree. Use clips instead of nails to hang lights to minimize damage to cords. Use lights that are listed by a qualified testing laboratory like Underwriters Lab. Replace light strands with worn or broken cords or loose bulbs. Always turn off your Christmas lights before going to bed. Donate to the Fuel Assistance Fund. The center is offering a special giving opportunity this holiday season. Donate to the Duxbury Interfaith Council in honor of a friend or loved one, and all funds will go to support local families in need of heat and essential winter assistance. This meaningful gift option, which comes with a beautifully designed certificate acknowledging the donation, will help ensure that Duxbury residents stay warm and safe during the coldest months of the year. And thank you for listening. We wish a warm holidays and a Merry Christmas to all the listeners. Thank you very much. We will see you next week.